Ben and Rob and Joe reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello everyone, it's 4am once again, and that means time for the 4am inbox, where me and my friends reach deep into our sacks to see what we can find and what you guys have to tell us. So, I am your host as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Joe.
I'm Sticky.
And Brian.
Alright, Sticky, what do you got for us?
Well, William, one of our listeners, is very prolific and has sent us a lot of emails. And
he went on a tear.
Well, so here's the thing.
They've been charging up.
They have been charging up. So, I mean...
We should do episodes more often.
Yeah, we should do more of these. But, you know, scheduling conflicts. Joe has been on his mission to the moon.
I'm sorry, William. My life of constant
adventure.
He died
at one point, had to come from the other side.
I think I was a vampire. No, I was poking vampires with silver things.
But, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there's one about that, too. So, we are going all the way back right now.
Way
an email we got from John about Star Wars. Do you guys remember?
I don't remember
that at all. All right, I'm going to read this. Hopefully, it jogs some memories.
Yeah, a little bit about it.
And we'll see how it goes. These are all from William. All right, William says, "Hi guys, hope you're all doing well." In reference to John, who wrote in for Inbox Episode 9. Which is wrong, because this inbox is going to be episode 9, but we probably mislabeled them because I'm bad at my job. I think Star Wars is more science fantasy than science fiction. The Star Wars universe is about space wizards who battle using light swords, divination, foretelling the future, telekinesis, and cast lightning from their fingertips. When the space wizards can't fight face to face, they hop into starfighters that have proton torpedoes that travel in a straight line before suddenly changing direction by 90 degrees. These starfighters are also able to change their direction at a moment's notice. Science fiction, I feel, should have a bit more science in it, or at the very least give some small science-y sounding explanation for how something is done. In episode 1, which doesn't exist, just so we're clear, Qui-Gon explains that a Jedi can sometimes see briefly into the future, which is what allows them to have the reaction times that they have, and why Anakin can compete in pod racing. I never played Shadow of the Colossus, but I remember the death of Artax in Neverending Story being as emotionally devastating as the death of Bambi's mom, and Godzuki was the Godzilla Jr. from the 78-79 cartoon.
That's
Godzilla.
The name of
the
thing, yeah.
Yeah, Minya is the name of baby Godzilla in the...
Yeah, I think I was calling it Godzuki when Rob was correcting me.
Good show.
But we are both right in a way.
I could be wrong, but I think William is referring to the distinction between space opera and hard science fiction, I think are the actual terms.
Yeah. I think, like, Star Trek would fall more under the science fiction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see what he's saying. There's a fantasy element to it with magic and so on.
There's, there's a lot of other labels.
Star Wars is gobbledygook. Space, I mean,
There's no technology has nothing to do with what happens in the movie. It's purely fantasy, whereas science fiction.
Yeah, it's just setting.
Yeah.
It's not part of the
plot. Agreed on that one. Again, it's also a long time ago in a galaxy far away, and yet. Everyone's just British for some reason. So whatever.
Yeah. Everyone's British, and the farther back you go, the more advanced technology becomes. It's weird.
Well, it's just a different universe. I mean, different galaxy. They have, like, they could have been around longer.
It's all Tatooine. You know. It's just all Tatooine.
Which, I was talking to someone yesterday. No, Wednesday. I want to see a Star Wars show that's, like, called, like, Tatooine or like Coruscant or something like that, where you're in the universe, but not with, like, the main Star Wars, like, shit going on, but give some of that filler stuff that, you know, you want to see. But anyway,
There's a popular podcast that I listen to pretty much anyway, but they brought up the idea of, I think it was, like, a Law and Order situation on Cloud City.
Okay.
Which, yeah, I would be down for that.
Sure. That's
okay. So... We can mention other podcasts exist.
I guess there's not really a question here, so... All right.
Well, I appreciate though the feedback. We did learn something about Godzuki.
Yeah.
I disagree with him on the point about the death of Artax being as emotionally devastating.
Well,
as
you're heartless,
Bambi's
though.
Mom. What's that?
You're heartless. So.
Well, here's the thing.
I have a heart.
I could totally
see that. It doesn't
work
very well.
I could totally see that being the case if you're a child and watching it.
Yeah.
As an adult watching it, Bambi's mom is way more devastating than. A horse that just decides it's going to die.
Or it gives up 15 minutes into the film.
Plus, when was the last time any of us, especially for the first time, had an adult watch Bambi to see how that works?
Fair point.
I've seen Bambi not long.
No, but like, they're an adult first time ever seeing Bambi.
Oh, I don't know.
But I mean, even you watching it now as an adult, do you still feel as emotionally devastated by it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bambi's mom like raises him up. He's like,
I'm not saying it's not sad or anything.
Like, you got a deadbeat dad. I'm raising you as a single mom in the forest. And like all of a sudden, you're starting to become a little grown deer. Oh, what's that? It's hunters. Oh, I'm dead.
And now it's spring.
Shot right. Yeah, now it's spring.
Either way,
next email.
Let it be known. Like, I don't really like or care about Shadow of the Colossus, but the death of that horse is way more impactful than either of those scenes.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. Because that horse is like the whole game. Mm-hmm. It's just you and that horse and nothing else.
Thank God Epona's still alive. That's all I can say.
Yeah. All right.
So next email.
All right. So this one.
Who's it from?
This is also from William. So this one has points on Crocodile Dundee, Deep Blue Sea, and Taken.
Okay. All
right.
And says, hi, guys. Excellent show as always. I found some older notes that I never sent in and decided to include it here. Okay. So Crocodile Dundee. During the Crocodile Dundee show, Rob, said, we're slowly going back to the Middle Ages because you can carry a sword in Texas. Is that me? I don't think that was me. I don't know anything about the law.
I don't remember.
That sounds like something Brian
would say. I've said that.
And all I can think is Star Wars, an elegant weapon of a more civilized age, but none of you remembered even when you then mentioned Mos Eisley Cantina. So he was upset that we didn't mention that quote from Star Wars. So, William, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm not a Star Wars guy. Like, I don't. Like, I watch and enjoy the films, but I don't memorize. That's not my jam.
We should have Matt back on, because Matt knows every quote from every movie.
Matt does know every quote from every movie, but Matt's got his own things going on.
That's true. We should have Matt on before he can never be on ever again.
Yeah, that's true. Let's not. I don't.
He's got to go vampire hunting as well.
I need time. I need to do a quick fast five. anybody have any thoughts?
No, I mean, like, we're not, you know, we can't always remember every quote at every perfect moment.
Most of us are dumb at this table.
That's true.
Yeah, all of us are.
I don't remember anyone making that comment, let alone my reaction to it.
Well,
and
let me,
half the quotes I say no one gets anyways. Also, so
I was not there.
Oh,
you're such a. Why do you have to?
Such have a to wonderful excuse for you, huh?
Ruin it.
No, so, Joe's allowed.
William, let me try and paint you a picture. So imagine that you just watched a movie. All right, now you have to go into a sweat lodge full of fart gas.
Full of fart gas.
Full of fart gas.
Like, don't light a match.
And like you're just sitting in it, and you can just feel it on your skin, and. Like, you're trying to talk about this movie that you just watched.
Also,
and
you're shoving gross snacks.
You are eating. You're like, and just imagine this.
Delicious snacks.
You're eating snacks while you're smelling the farts. So your snacks taste like farts, but you're still eating them anyway.
You might have like a turtle head situation.
You definitely have a turtle head situation. There's no question.
Well, like, I don't think all of us have it throughout every podcast, but probably
at least one per podcast.
I mean, it's pretty much like a game of, you know, whack-a-mole. You never know which hole it's coming out of, but you always know it's coming. So, I mean, we can't possibly, like, it's been pretty well documented that I can't remember my name half the time, so.
And there's a strong possibility I was thinking it and just wasn't given the chance to speak.
Yeah, so
I tend to get cut off.
I do apologize, but man, it's thick in here. Two C's, man.
All right.
So, Deep Blue Sea.
Carrying on.
A fucking shock ate me.
Yep. At 84 minutes into the podcast.
Damn, it was long as fuck.
I don't think it was long of an episode by our standards.
And by the way, Will, thank you for getting that far into that podcast.
Yeah, really. That's further than pretty much anybody else makes it.
So it says, if the shark can find cameras without knowing what they are, it can stay underwater and avoid people. What does the serum do to non-Alzheimer people? Make them super smart? Well,
It's a good point.
It just makes them able to stay underwater and avoid cameras.
Well,
which if you're an Alzheimer's patient, you definitely want to.
You know what?
To.
That's a good use of our Alzheimer's patients.
We'll never know because we discarded the cure for fucking Alzheimer's. I'm still bitter about it.
Left it out in the ocean.
Anything else, guys? All right. So, Taken. No, Joe. No flipping flashbacks. Flashbacks are the devil.
In fairness, I did. Well, I don't know if I did in the episode, but I have since recanted my idea of having flashbacks in that movie. It would be a bad idea.
Okay. And it says, by the way, welcome back. Your mellow influence was missed.
Oh.
Also, I'm not going
to. I realize I'm the mellow.
I'm not going to read this next line. It's about Tony not having compassion for somebody that was raped to death. All right.
Whoa, wait, what?
I'm just going to say it and not read it, but you know.
Yeah, what?
I don't remember the context, but I remember it was you, because we were all like, what are you talking about?
What?
So now he goes on to give advice to Taken's daughter. It says, tell her to open a window and yell, rape, fire, scream for her life. Heck, she's only on the second story. A jump might break her leg, but we see her climbing along rooftops and ledges in the second movie, and this is an older French home with plenty of architectural features to try and climb down on or around. And after
it
yelling,
also get other people to notice.
That's true. And after yelling and jumping, the kidnapper might not want to waste the time going to grab her now. €40 was $60 at the time. I don't know what a hooker costs, but $60 should have been worth a few minutes just to talk.
So I'm saying that hooker's customer service skills were atrocious.
Yes. Liam Neeson has a natural Irish accent. He could have used that. Wait a minute. He was absolutely using that.
Yeah.
he was not doing any kind of a job hiding that. And
in the scene where he was trying to be the bad guy, be the cop from New York.
Right, yeah, I don't. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I mean, he's putting on that like, pokey New York accent.
You're like, could have used your normal voice.
You're in France. Nobody cares what you say. Like, no one knows who you are. And it says, the safety of a bathroom gun is debatable, I think. He's a cop. He's always had weapons in the house. The kids were probably given a thorough lecture multiple times on not messing with guns, like alcohol being available at a younger age. It's not such a big deal and not something you play with if you have knowledge experience from a younger age. Anything on any of these?
I will say with the alcohol thing, like, plenty of my friends who are alcoholics now started when they were like 13. There were a lot of drink at home with
my mom's is cool as long as it's in the house
to be safe about it. But like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Also, I am not able to drink alcohol to this day due to exposure to alcohol related things when I was very young.
I think, well, the big takeaway I'm thinking from this, at least maybe, all right, is we joke. We try and make this amusing. I know I'm probably the worst at it, but I do try.
Correct.
So, like, things like the bathroom gun, we're joking. Like, most people shouldn't just have a bathroom gun. I don't think we said everyone should, but, like, yeah, that's a joke.
Did we say everyone?
No, I think we cautioned against bathroom guns. Yeah. We were gonna sell them in the gift shop, but.
Okay. And I would guess that also applies to whatever heartless thing I might have said earlier. I don't remember. Yeah. But because I believe I was like fighting for the fact that he was a jerk for leaving her friend behind for having that situation. I don't remember what
I don't I remember.
Said,
yeah, I'm not sure
to oppose
either.
That. But anyway.
The last point is on Flight of Dragons, and it says, "Thank you for the life of me, I couldn't remember the name of movie adaptation of the Gordon R. Dixon book, The Dragon and George. I can't wait to hear your opinions." So that was, I guess, pre episode. So.
Wait, so. So you knew about the book first? So you already knew about the you've read the book as a kid or something? Like that's what I'm trying to.
I guess so.
John was not the only one.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. John got people like him.
Yeah, John couldn't possibly be the only one, right?
Well, there is another email immediately following.
Well, about the Highlander? Say, though, I'm glad to hear that Will is getting excited about episodes.
Yeah, I know I am.
Yeah, where's the rest of you guys?
I have to.
Give me something to get excited about. Show a nip every once in a while.
Come on, everyone, Tony. Who tells me in
person, don't do it.
Everyone tells me in person how much they love the episodes. Write in so people believe. So believe that we say we have fans. Like write
Please
in.
Please believe me.
Please believe
I
me.
I want someone to believe I have a friend. Sorry. Wait. Did I
you
get too personal?
You can't me.
Oh, please. Continue reading. Please stop.
I'm closing in on my.
Nope. No, you're not.
All right. Flight of the Dragons.
William's number one fan here, you know?
Yeah, Casey Kasem.
Oh, no. No, he's heard the episode. Okay.
Flight of the Dragons. I don't recall enough of the movie or the book to really comment on Thor's hammer and the honeycombing that makes dragon's breath possible. It's just bullshit. But maybe the honeycombing stops the backdraft of the fire to just the first honeycomb, thereby stopping the dragon from blowing up. You're overthinking it. It's just bullshit. 2004 Punisher, that's going to be a tough one. Good luck. Thanks for watching all of these so that I don't have to.
Thank you for that. Well wishes. It was a tough one.
It was very tough. It's a thing, right?
Don't thank us. Thank John. Thank John for Flight of Dragons. But yes, Punisher was in a class by itself.
Here, Dad, I got this.
I'm sorry Joe missed that one.
I am too. Your frog shirt.
I was just going to say, while we're at it, if anyone would like to go to 4ampodcast@podbean.com and pick up a tactical Sasquatch shirt, just in case your family gets murders and you want to become a Sasquatch superhero.
All right, well, you want to start typing up your email about that comment?
I said just in case.
Frank Castle shows up. The shirt says, if you can read this, the bitch fell off.
Wow, you're right there, Tony. Oh, my God. He's red, he's crying, he's having all kinds of problems.
Now, I just want to point out, that is by far the most insensitive comment. Because if you're referring to his family being murdered by the mafia as the, quote, the bitch falling off.
Yeah, and then he chases after him on his little motorcycle with his boat shoes. All right. We don't know what Thor's hammer is. It's just nonsense.
Thor's thimble was the thing that they ignited the gas.
I know what it is in context of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's a made-up.
Yeah,
fake nonsense thing. That
I think the point we were getting at was it didn't need to be there.
Right? Yeah, yeah. They're dragons. Like, the fact that they exist at all.
Well, that's the weird. Like, you're trying to explain magic with science, and it's a tricky situation. Mm-hmm, so you either buy into it or you don't.
It just lumps into the Star Wars category.
Close enough.
All right, so we've got some Punisher feedback from William.
No. Please.
Punisher feedback. Hello, 4AM Podcast. When Brian was asking about the movie with the demonic truck and it just appears, I don't think he meant Maximum Overdrive. I'm pretty sure he did. I think Brian meant the 1971 Spielberg movie Duel. I'm pretty sure you meant
Maximum Overdrive.
You were talking about the one with the Green Goblin face. That's Maximum Overdrive. Yeah.
So I'm curious to know about this movie Duel, though.
Yeah. Good pull, Will.
And then he says, no. Rob was right. They just thought he was a witch doctor because he was black. I think the 2008 reboot Punisher Warzone made it much clearer that the guy actually was a witch doctor. Good point, Brian. John Wick is a better Rampage movie, and that's what this movie should have been.
For like, for real, like it.
And obviously, this is, I think, the point where William wasn't paying attention to what we were saying. You guys obviously loved Black Panther. Everyone seems, because we talked about that a lot too.
Okay.
Everyone seems to have loved Killmonger, and I thought he was excellent, but I contend that M'Baku, leader of the gorilla tribe, stole every scene he was in and was the best character in the movie. And yes, that is absolutely how we feel too.
Yeah. We're all fans of M'Baku.
Yeah, I don't know if he was best character, but he was...
He was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome. He stole all the scenes.
Yeah. That he was better than both Killmonger and the Black Panther. I saw the movie in theaters twice, and both times the only times there was any reaction from the audience was when M'Baku told Martin Freeman to be quiet or he would be eaten. And later when he and the rest of his tribe show up to save the day. What did you guys think? Did your theaters have a different reaction?
No, same reaction. I wouldn't say that was the only point. No, it's got the best laugh, I think.
Yeah, my theater was clapping at pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I said, like, I think those were the best laughs, but there were plenty of, like, claps, cheers, whatever.
Was it just me or did the Black Panther movie not feel like a movie about the Black Panther? It was more Killmonger's story with Black Panther tying all the characters together. None of the other MCU movies felt this way to me.
It wasn't about him. Like we got the badass Black Panther. What we got was in Civil War. This was about Wakanda.
Yeah, that's what I did. It was like about how Wakanda works.
I know I've probably mention this in a more personal setting, but yeah, I think that was the smart move. They set up the Black Panther in Civil War so they could use this movie to kind of explore the other things around him more. And it worked out well for me, at least. Like,
he also had a nice, like, kind of growing up story arc in Civil War that kind of already took care of a lot of stuff with him.
Yeah. And it's not like he wasn't present for this movie or didn't have an impact on it. He just, you know,
he shared the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, people will say, like, he was just kind of there. Like, yeah, he was. Cause just kind of, his dad died a week ago. He just became king. He just learned that his dad had left. He said all this for the first time. Like, yo, let me process shit. Like, Killmonger's like, yo, I've been training my whole life for this. He's like, motherfucker, I just found about you yesterday. Like, chill for a second. Like, yeah.
And it says, what is best in life? I'll find out next week when you go over Conan. Hopefully with Joe. Come back, Joe. The audience misses you.
I'm touched. Well, thank you.
Joe's got a fan.
Touched in the head.
And butt.
And apparently I'm seen as heartless.
All right. So, Blade Trinity.
Oh. Hi, I'm guys. Sorry, Will.
Hi, guys. From Blade Trinity, you guys made fun of Jessica Biel's, if it was Jessica Alba, I would have been much happier, weapon being half as hot as the sun. According to Google, the surface temperature of the sun is 5,505 degrees Celsius, which is about 9,941 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's over 9,000.
Her weapon would only be 2,752.5 Celsius, which is only 4,986 degrees Fahrenheit. Welders use equipment between 3,000 C and 20,000 C, so her weapon is on the low end of a welder's tool and well below the temperature of a plasma cutter, 20,000 degrees Celsius.
Okay, thank you.
Is that real?
But see, my thing was that she had this on her back the whole time. Welders, yes, use that, but they don't wear open back shirts.
I forgot, was this
an arrow that
no,
she
it's
shot?
Like a weird batleth thing.
Oh, yeah, it almost looked like a bow, but the string was just a flame that
it just hung on her back the whole time.
I don't think it was on because it unfolded whenever she pulled it out.
All right, well, either way, she was not wearing gloves with this thing or any protective equipment.
Okay, that is,
like, in real life, it turns out that fire arrows don't really work that well because just the end of an arrow being on fire being somewhat near your hand is that much of a problem. Like, this thing would be a fucking disaster wielding it.
Like, and besides that, in a world where the slightest touch with silver kills a vampire,
it's unnecessary.
It's so overkill. Like, just have a silver thread between these two ends and just whip that around.
Just like a flosser you could get. just a bigger pole arm version
of
that.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, like Hitman style, just a little pole string and silver.
I mean, my problem was not with the weapon itself. It's the fact that you've got this girl walking around wearing just...
You hate girls, we know.
Yeah, I hate girls. Just girl walking around. This is a girl walking around.
That's the problem.
With her girls aren't supposed to walk.
No, but she's walking around with no protective gear on at all.
Yeah.
And just this, I'm sorry, only, 5,000 degree weapon. It just seems a little crazy to me.
It is. And that also goes to a point that I've had this conversation with a few people. It's the thing of, you could argue this is nitpicking in a movie, and I won't argue it too much. But the idea is, with better movies, you find you'll let more things slide. With bad movies like this, you tend to, notice all this crap all the more. Mm-hmm. It glows in the dark, So,
like, if she was even just wearing, like, welder's gloves, also, I'd even, like, overlook it.
Or, again, just didn't have it and had silver string.
I wasn't there and I kind of forgot the context, but was it half as hot as the surface of the sun or half as hot as,
it didn't mention it. We were just joking around.
Because he said
They do specifically say. I don't remember if it's the surface of the sun or what.
The core of the sun.
The core of the sun. That's a fusion reactor. That's a whole different deal.
I don't remember what I did this morning, let alone what they said.
It just Trinity ruins the atmosphere every time she swings it. Like, causes a space-time rift.
Yeah. But also the thing is, like, I think she only uses it, like, two or three times tops. So, like,
can't have much of a battery life.
She didn't need it.
Yeah, it doesn't ever possibly matter. So we got some feedback on Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and do this. Excellent episode as always, gentlemen. I was tempted to sponsor an episode to put to shame your "that's the best a toaster can dance" comment, but I'll save my sponsorship for something else. The best dancing toaster award goes to the brave little toaster dancing to Tutti Frutti.
And there is a clip.
Yeah, there is a clip. I'm not going to play it. So, William, first of all, you did not have in the brave little toaster two grown men fighting over the opportunity to have intercourse with the brave little toaster.
That's why it was brave.
That's why.
Also, I believe the brave little toaster is an animated movie.
It is an animated movie. Yes.
Yeah.
So we don't know what happened to the artist drawing that. Yeah. We don't know.
Oh, we
so did. This was the prequel, and the sequel that follows Ghostbusters 2 is the scared little toaster. Yeah.
So as far as controlling the walking on the Statue of Liberty with a Nintendo Advanced, the controller could have been set so if you hold A, the foot on the inside of the turn plants and pivots. So
I'm going to stop you right there. The controller could have been hooked up to do fucking whatever, because it didn't matter, because they're just open wires strapped to a statue covered in ooze.
Yeah.
That may or may not have both Egon and Ray's smoke.
I'm familiar with the control scheme he is talking about.
Right.
It is, however, garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could have gotten it there with that control scheme, though.
So to turn right, you hold A and press the joystick right. Also remember, they don't need her to look around or strafe. Just turning her body is enough. They're not not trying to win any Call of Duty awards.
Yeah, they're not playing PUBG.
You don't need to circle strafe a boss or anything. Like, I do get that. I was very angry.
Well, yeah, the general idea, like, actually to go back to his earlier email, like, Ghostbusters was a bit more of the, like, science fiction kind of realm where, you're dealing with mysticism. Well, hold on. But, like, they tend to have some idea or at least try to explain a scientific explanation.
No, scientifical is
the yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant. They try to have some kind of reasonable explanation for that. The statue thing is just, at that point, it's garbage. It's just, woo, it's magic. It doesn't matter anymore, so.
I hope you crapped your pants, Joe.
I didn't, but I'm gonna.
It's time for,
he's the one turtle next time.
For whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
It also says, thank you, Joe, for bringing up the bay, washing away the slime.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Brian. The rest of you need to listen to Brian and just enjoy the moment. Brian, as a kid, I would have been right there cheering with you at this movie.
Thank you, William.
I believe I did say in the episode, I am just incapable of doing that. I wish I could,
yeah,
but I can't.
He also asks if we'll be having a buy merchandise to sponsor an episode special again soon.
He wants a two-for-one deal.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You already get sweet merch.
We'll think about that. We'll think that over.
We'll have to
maybe
have a little powwow.
Yeah, maybe for next anniversary show or something.
Coming up soon.
We do have episode 150 coming up soon.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe for an anniversary or something.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Everybody start putting your pennies away now. Get those shirts. Want to sell some Sasquatch shirts?
Bathroom guns.
Bathroom guns. Gun. All right.
Again, we're not in here just to hawk our shit. We are.
Well,
Joe might be. It smells like he is.
He's about to hawk his shit, but we're here to do this because we enjoy doing this, and the money is just to help us keep being able to do this. So maybe we'll come up with another deal soon, but yeah.
We should make some Rob Eicher non-trademark tortilla season
I still like my idea from Warrior of just Nick Nolte with a handful of Vaseline, and just on the back it just says the 4 a.m. podcast, and you just let your imagination just do whatever with that.
I'd rather not. Okay.
I like this plan.
Do you?
And actually, can we make that Rob eat your Dorit nose?
All right.
Sorry.
Let me eat a Snickers.
Because you're not yourself?
No. I'm hungry. All right. So the last email is about Angels in the Outfield.
All right. Catching up now.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I haven't even listened to that one.
Put your listening ears on. I don't know what that meant.
Wait. Okay.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Joe. Why do you keep leaving us? You couldn't even send in a see this movie voicemail this time? The Angels, human team, not celebrating a win was likely because they have already played roughly 100 games that season. They were in last place, presumably, as there is no way the dad thought the Angels had a chance. A single win at that point isn't something to get really excited about. Dude, if you lost 100 games, a single win is something to get super excited about.
Nah, not sports fans.
Like, all right.
Wait, are we also, like, isn't the idea here more that, like, you know, he's leaving his son?
Well, he explains.
The bear? Okay.
He explains, I guess, this. A baseball season is 162 games. During the interview scene with the reporters, Maggie is asked if she believes in angels. She states, since the All-Star break, yes. From this response, we can assume that the winning begins before the All-Star break. The All-Star break is in July and leaves 52 games left in the season. It likely took her a few games of the Angels actually winning to believe that the Angels were being helped by the Angels, hence roughly their 100th game. Furthermore, the 1992 season, when this movie was likely being written, the Angels played Toronto for their 92nd, 93rd, and 94th games at home. Roger first saw an Angel at a Toronto game. So the Angels winning their 40th game of the season after playing 94 isn't something to be whooping and hollering about, especially if the team dynamic is so bad they're fighting each other. It says, yes, the White Sox are evil. This is very true. And he claims that our dice roll was rigged. William, the dice roll is not rigged. All right. We have Angels in our outfield, which I guess is still technically cheating. but I was not aware of it.
If you're following along, which obviously you are, you know, we've seemed to have a trend going where something that comes up just in conversation throughout one of the podcasts will lead to our next movie. And so it just, I believe this was how we got Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just, it, I mean, we mentioned that enough, it was bound to happen anyway, but...
It's because I believed in it so hard.
That could be. But that's also, I believe that's how we got Punisher and Blade Trinity, so trust me, it's not rigged.
Who believed in that?
No one believed in that, just someone mentioned it.
Yeah, it was just stuff that came up in conversation. Not even, like, the movie specifically, but, like, actors that were in the movie, or, you know?
Yeah, I think it was more just a general Marvel trend we started getting.
I think we talked about, what was it, Christopher Lloyd? Yeah, Angels in the outfield. So I don't know.
I believe so.
Excuse me. I'm choking on water right now. So do you guys have any feedback on the Angels in the outfield?
Where it says, yes, the White Sox are evil, it's very true. I believe at one point in the episode that I did hear so far, you guys were talking about there was another movie where there was the White Sox were the bad guys. That was Major League 2.
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Same year. So. Okay. But yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I'm sure someone would disagree with that, but not me. So, hey, go for it.
But in all seriousness, to answer your question, William, I did recently get a promotion in my non-podcast job that has caused some scheduling issues, and that's why I can't make it every week.
It's not that he doesn't love you. He'll come back when the Angels win the pennant.
Don't say that.
Or he'll put you up for adoption for a sandwich.
Yeah, I was going to say, we want Joe to come back. Don't make these weird promises.
It's either you or a pack of cigarettes. It looks like Marlboro's winning today.
I'll even smoke.
No, he doesn't. Oh, gosh. Well, that's...
I was going to come back and take you home, son, but I decided to stop and get some gum instead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about sports stuff. Like, I don't understand when it's appropriate to be cheering or not. I get excited every time the Autobots get a win. I mean, you got to think of it like this way. People were hooting and hollering about Wonder Woman. So, you know, any victory in a series of garbage losses.
I was wondering where that was going.
Has to be taken and enjoyed. Savored, if you will. So, that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I get what he's saying, and sure, sports fans aren't going to get excited about one win, But
when your team is garbage for as long as garbage for, they're supposed to win. If I'm not cheering, if you're doing something you're supposed to fucking do. Fucking win, you're supposed to fucking do.
Well, it depends. If your team comes out of nowhere and beats a team they have no business beating, right. that's cause for celebration.
You're supposed to fucking win games once in a while. I'm not cheering for you for winning.
I mean, if you're the Cleveland Browns and you win a game, then all right, then you celebrate.
Like, if you're the Lady Huskies and you win a game, it's like whatever. Just move on.
The men, however, they win. That's something. No, they're doing fine. I'm sorry.
So,
although if that's the case, we're just gonna glaze over the fact that one guy actually freaking flew.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the more to the point there, but you know, it's all right.
So, but yeah, it's nonsense.
Those are currently all of the emails that we've got in our email inbox.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry it took so long for us to answer them.
Yeah, but thank you so much, William, for all of your super prolific writing, and let that be a lesson to all the rest of you. Ooh, you ain't got keyboards out there?
Your finger's broke!
We'll talk about anything. Email us about anything.
Whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be about the episode.
If you want us to talk about something, write in, and as long as it's not offensive in some terrible way.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, sometimes it is. As long as it's funny offensive.
Most of the time we, supply the offensiveness, apparently. But, so please write in to the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
It is indeed the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
Sure. Let us know what's on your mind, what you're thinking, what your comments are about previous episodes.
If you want to hear any of those previous episodes, you can go to 4ampodcast.podbean.com and check out our website, our archive episodes, where you can even find all of our old email inbox episodes.
You can also just leave us a voicemail.
Back when Rich still loved us.
Oh.
Yeah, what happened to that guy?
What happened to Rich?
Rich, we still love you. It's all right.
Yeah, we do.
I'm
still sad I never got to meet him.
Yeah, Joe.
Rich, come back. We'll pick apart another movie you love.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he's gone. Right.
Oh, that makes sense.
I forgot.
I'm sorry I made fun of moping Kylo Ren.
Anyway.
Jacked Kylo Ren. Wait, moping Kylo Ren is... Yeah, never mind.
Jack Conan O'Brien.
We are.
All right. Yeah. So that's it for now. We hope you all join us next week for whatever movie we're doing.
Yep.
Till then.
Adios.
Later, guys.
Deuces.
Good night, everybody.